Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
And away we go, episode 304 of the Al Galdi Podcast. It is Sunday, May 1st, 2022. Yes, we are here together on a Sunday. A new week in a new month, but a Sunday installment of the Al Galdi Podcast. This does not happen often, but this is happening today. Assuming that you're listening to this on Sunday, but this is a very special and also special installment of the Al Galdi Podcast, a Commanders draft special of rounds 2 through 7 of the 2022 NFL draft. This is, in fact, an emergency episode of the Al Galdi Podcast, an emergency pod. But I did tell you on Friday's show, episode 303, that this emergency show was coming. So this is a scheduled emergency installment of the Al Galdi Podcast. The only thing more urgent than an emergency episode of the podcast is a scheduled emergency episode of the podcast. This entire show will feature in-depth reaction to, thoughts on, and analysis of what our Commanders did in rounds 2 through 7 of the now completed 2022 NFL draft, including the many significant things that Commanders head coach Ron Rivera and Commanders general manager Martin Mayhew said in press conferences on Friday night and on Saturday. Always know this podcast plays for you key Commanders audio and key Commanders audio at length, so you get the full context and breadth of what is said. We have a lot to unpack, including, of course, the selection of a quarterback. Yeah, the Commanders, the Coms, the Durs, they took a quarterback in this draft. Sam Howell, Sam I Am, come on down. The North Carolina quarterback taken by the Commanders on Saturday in the 5th round of the draft. Let's just address this right now. When will the cries for Sam Howell to start over Carson Wentz begin? October, September, August? Like, when am I going to do my first segment on why Sam Howell should start over Carson Wentz? I'm not sure, but I got to start planning that. I got to schedule that. But next segment, we will dive headfirst into the Commanders drafting a quarterback in Sam Howell. Spoiler alert, I am a fan of the Commanders having done this. Was this a good draft for the Commanders? Well, there were some things that I really liked, like taking Sam Howell, like the trades. There also, though, was what happened on Friday night. Not that I, like, despise who the Commanders took on Friday night, but the, shall we say, positional values and the values of taking those players where the Commanders took those players wasn't exactly the greatest, okay? I mean, when a player says that his agent told him to expect to go in the 3rd or 4th round and the player instead was taken by the team in the 2nd round, I don't know, seems to me that that's less than ideal. But I will talk at length about the Commanders taking Alabama interior defensive lineman Fedarian Mathis in the second round and Alabama running back Brian Robinson Jr. in the third round, including what the Commanders drafting Mathis means for Daron Payne and what the Commanders drafting Robinson means for Antonio Gibson. And I'll discuss the rest of the Commanders' 2022 draft picks, including Nevada tight end Cole Turner. The Commanders took him on Saturday in the fifth round. Wait until you hear what Ron Rivera on Saturday said about Cole Turner. Cole Turner just might be Ron Rivera's new favorite player. Ron was gushing about Turner. NFL draft grades already are coming in. ESPN NFL draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr. has given the Commanders a B- for their 2022 draft. Like I said, I think that the two trades that the Commanders made were good. The overdrafting of Fedarian Mathis and Brian Robinson Jr. do not look so good, but those guys could be good players for the Commanders. I'll say this too, I am more and more liking the selection of Jahan Dotson in the first round. Dotson really comes off well. The guy does catch everything. How about the fact that Dotson walks around with a football all of the time so that he can constantly practice catching and holding onto the football? How do you like that? I mean, is that not like an extremely likable thing for a guy on whom you just spent a first-round pick? You can tweet me at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Email from Brent Anderson in Northeast D.C. on the Commanders draft, writes Brent. In round one, we got a guy who we thought might go in round two. In round two, we draft a guy who reported his agent told him it would be rounds three or four. Then in round three, we got a running back whose consensus absolute ceiling was where we drafted him. Al, you're the analytics guy. Explain how drafting all of our guys higher than general consensus, parentheses, Jamin Davis, Dwayne Haskins, is good value. You could say that maybe our board is right and the rest of the teams are wrong. That makes sense for one player, maybe two. I think when it happens time after time after time and your answers are different than everyone else's, they're the wrong answers. I'll go positive one day, I promise. Thank you for the email, Brent. Email from Mike P. on the Commanders draft. Writes Mike, to me, Don Ron went more for need than BPA. Mike, I agree with you on that, certainly with what happened on Friday night. I think those were definite need picks. The Commanders definitely viewed those two positions, interior defensive line and running back, as needs. Other picks, though, in this draft, like, say, Jahan Dotson, like, say, Sam Howell, I think were more BPA picks than those picks were need picks. I think that those picks were more best player available picks than those picks were need picks. Continues Mike, with losing Tim Settle and Matt Ioannidis, getting Fedarian Mathis was a good pick. The team moves its defensive linemen around a lot, and Mathis brings good depth with maybe some injury concern to both Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissic, along with Gibson's fumbling problem. Snagging Brian Robinson Jr. in the third was a steal for me. He was my favorite running back in the draft. I watch a lot of SEC football, being a Florida Gators fan, and Robinson is a beast, possibly the best ball carrier on the team right now. Percy Butler is super fast and is a really good tackler. Getting Sam Howell in the fifth round is great value. I figured that the Commanders would get a quarterback in this draft. Played with Deami Brown. I really like that pick. If Carson Wentz doesn't work out, you have the potential replacement. A few years sitting and learning could be really good for him, if anything. Cole Turner is a really good red zone threat. I give our draft a B. I'm overall happy. Well, Mike, you and Mel Kiper Jr. are essentially in concert, so you have good company. Well, this is a special Sunday installment of the Al Galdi podcast, for which there is a new episode every weekday, out oh so early, out by the 5 a.m. hour, and often out even earlier than that. And this special Commanders draft episode of the Al Galdi podcast is brought to you by Kellen Hunt. You know, one of the Commanders' seventh round picks in the 2022 draft was Oklahoma State corner Christian Holmes. If only buying Holmes in the Washington, D.C. area was as easy as drafting Christian Holmes. Homes in the D.C. area, as you surely know, are expensive, and the competition for homes in the D.C. area can be fierce. That's why if you're looking to buy a home in the D.C. area, you should go with Kellen Hunt as your real estate agent. Did you know that in Chevy Chase, Maryland, 66% of homes are sold within 10 days of being listed? On Capitol Hill, 60% of homes listed are sold in 10 days or less. In Georgetown, 43% of sales thus far this year have been cash transactions. Kellen Hunt will guide you through the process of buying a home that is right for you. My man Kel understands what it's like out there right now. Kellen Hunt is a real estate agent for real people. He puts the real back in real estate. Whether you are a first-time buyer looking for guidance, whether you are part of a young family that needs space to grow, whether you are an empty nester ready to retire, Kellen Hunt will guide you through the process of buying a home. You need someone who understands the market and who can match you with a home that meets your needs. Because what real estate truly is about is you, your needs, your dreams, finding the right place for you. Kellen Hunt understands this. And Kellen Hunt isn't just a realtor. He's a young entrepreneur. He's a father. He's a husband. He's a homeowner himself. He's smart, creative, and above all, Kellen Hunt gets it. Plus, Kel will put a portion of his commission back in your pocket. Yes, you, the buyer, get a piece of the action. Kellen Hunt knows what buyers like you are facing, and he wants to help. So here's what you do. Go to closeitwithkel.com. That's closeitwithkel, K-E-L-L.com, and book a call with Kellen Hunt to discuss your real estate needs. Make sure that you tell Kel that Al Galdi sent you. That website again is closeitwithkel.com. That's closeitwithkel.com. And tell your friends, your cousins, your aunties, your coworkers, tell everyone you know who's buying a home to book an introductory call with Kellen Hunt at closeitwithkel.com and see what Kellen Hunt can do for you. If you're trying to buy a home in the Washington, D.C. area, you will do well by going with Kel. Visit closeitwithkel.com and tell Kel that Al Galdi sent you. All right, don't forget to give the podcast a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Do not forget to write a brief 1 or 2 sentence review on Apple Podcasts saying how much that you like the podcast, and thank you very much for doing those things. So for weeks, I on this podcast said that I did not want the Commanders having traded for Carson Wentz to preclude them from taking a quarterback in the 2022 NFL draft. I wanted the Commanders open to taking a quarterback in the 2022 draft. I did not want the Commanders to force the selection of a quarterback. In other words, if the Commanders didn't really like any of the quarterbacks in this draft, then I did not want the Commanders to take any of the quarterbacks in this draft. But if the Commanders did like any of the quarterbacks in this draft, I did not want them having traded for Carson Wentz to make them feel like they couldn't take any of these quarterbacks in the 2022 draft. The position of quarterback is too important, and the Commanders have too much uncertainty at the quarterback position for them to just pass on a quarterback who they like in an NFL draft just because they have made this trade for Carson Wentz. Wentz is a potential answer at quarterback for the Commanders. I hope that he proves to be the answer, but he is not a definite answer at quarterback for the Commanders, and nobody who has followed the Carson Wentz situation can tell you with a straight face that he is a definite answer at quarterback for the Commanders. And this idea that the Commanders couldn't take a quarterback in the 2022 draft because that would upset Carson Wentz, because he got upset during his time with the Philadelphia Eagles when they drafted Jalen Hurts. And Carson Wentz got upset during his time with the Eagles over Nick Foles winning a Super Bowl while Carson Wentz was recovering from his torn left ACL. I'm not interested in Carson Wentz's feelings, okay? I'm not interested in Carsey Warsey's feelings, okay? This idea of, oh, he'll become uncomfortable, or, oh, this will mess with his mind, okay? Please, if that's really how he is, if he's that soft, then he's not the Commander's answer at quarterback to begin with. And I'd like to think that Carson Wentz isn't that soft. Or if he was that soft, that he's no longer that soft. That he is hardening as time goes on here. He should be, okay? He's talented enough to where he shouldn't care who the Commanders take in the NFL draft. The 2022 NFL draft was not a good draft for quarterbacks in terms of how NFL teams perceived those quarterbacks. That now is as clear as can be. Just one quarterback was taken over the first 73 picks in the 2022 draft. The Pittsburgh Steelers took Pitt quarterback Kenny Pickett with the number 20 pick. The next quarterback in the 2022 draft wasn't taken until the Atlanta Falcons took Cincinnati quarterback Desmond Ridder in the third round with the number 74 overall pick. That is amazing when you think about it, right? In this quarterback-obsessed time in the NFL, just one quarterback was taken over the first 73 picks in the 2022 draft. So you think about this. The Commanders could have had any quarterback in the 2022 draft. Anyone. But the Commanders passed on every quarterback in the 2022 draft at least once, and passed on all but one of the quarterbacks in the 2022 draft multiple times. The Commanders only passed on Kenny Pickett once. The Commanders passed on every other quarterback in the 2022 draft multiple times. But while the Commanders in the 2022 draft passed on every quarterback in the draft at least once, the Commanders in the 2022 draft did ultimately take a quarterback, and this was by far the biggest item from the final 2 days of the Commanders 2022 draft. The Commanders on Saturday took North Carolina quarterback Sam Howell in the fifth round, pick number 144 overall in the 2022 NFL draft. And I have to tell you, I fully endorse this. I loved the Commanders doing this. Now, I fully recognize that the chance of Sam Howell becoming anything other than a backup for the Commanders is quite small. Non-first-round quarterbacks becoming franchise NFL quarterbacks is extremely rare. Just four current franchise quarterbacks are guys who were taken with non-first-round picks. Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, and Dak Prescott. Those guys were all drafted between 2012 and 2016. Not a single franchise quarterback in the NFL has come from a non-first round of an NFL draft over the previous five drafts, 2017 through 2021, at least as things stand right now. But from 2012 through 2021, there were 115 quarterbacks taken in NFL drafts. As things stand now, over the previous 10 NFL drafts, 2012 through 2021, just four of the 115 quarterbacks drafted were non-first-round quarterbacks who became franchise quarterbacks. So the likelihood of Sam Howell becoming a franchise quarterback for the Commanders, the likelihood of Commander Sam becoming a franchise quarterback for the Commanders is small, really small. But there's always a chance. And more to the point, you need quarterback depth. And just the fact that the Commanders weren't so afraid of upsetting Carson Wentz, you know, so afraid of upsetting Carsey Warsey, that they wouldn't even take a quarterback in a draft in which the quarterbacks were falling like boulders off a cliff. I mean, that to me is encouraging. Ron Rivera is not allowing his team's quarterback situation to be completely held hostage by Carson Wentz. And Ron shouldn't be allowing the Commanders' quarterback situation to be completely held hostage by Carson Wentz. Ron certainly should be trying to win with Carson Wentz, and Ron certainly should do all that he can within reason for Carson Wentz to feel good and feel confident and play well. And as you'll hear, Ron is trying to build up Carson Wentz's confidence, but Ron isn't, nor should he be, just giving up on adding inventory to the Commanders quarterback stock. And I'm very happy about that. Bravo to the Commanders for taking Sam Howell in the fifth round of the 2022 draft. Now, how about what the Commanders taking Sam Howell was a result of? So the Commanders on day three of the 2022 NFL draft on Saturday traded a 2022 fourth round pick number 120 overall, and a 2022 sixth round pick number 189 overall, to, of all teams, the Carolina Panthers for two 2022 fifth round picks. Picks numbers 144 and 149 overall. The Commanders got the 2022 fourth round pick number 120 overall, that they traded to the Panthers via that trade with the New Orleans Saints on night one of the 2022 draft, as the Commanders this past Thursday night traded their number 11 overall pick to the Saints for a 2022 first round pick, the number 16 overall pick, a 2022 third round pick, the number 98 overall pick, and a 2022 fourth round pick, the number 120 overall pick. There's a lot to take in there, I get that, but bottom line, the Commanders turned trading down five spots in the first round of the 2022 draft and trading away a 2022 sixth round pick, that pick number 189 overall, into four players. Those four players: Penn State receiver Jahan Dotson, who the Commanders took in the first round, pick number 16 overall in the 2022 draft; Alabama running back Brian Robinson Jr., who the Commanders took in the third round, pick number 98 overall in the 2022 draft; North Carolina quarterback Sam Howell, who the Commanders took in the fifth round, pick number 144 overall in the 2022 draft; and Nevada tight end Cole Turner, who the Commanders took in the fifth round, pick number 149 overall in the 2022 draft. Ron Rivera, by the way, loves Cole Turner. You'll hear that later in the show. We'll obviously see what becomes of these four players: Jahan Dotson, Brian Robinson Jr., Sam Howell, and Cole Turner. But this right here, to me, is how you do the NFL draft. You trade down, you get more picks, you take good players. The process here, to me, by the Commanders was quite sound and is what you want to see your team do in NFL drafts. Sam Howell was a terrific value pick. Maybe he ends up being a bad NFL quarterback, but understand the value of this transaction, of the Commanders taking him in the fifth round of the 2022 draft, is substantial. Sam Howell was the number 34 player on Pro Football Focus's big board for the 2022 NFL draft, and yet the Commanders took Howell with the number 144 pick in the 2022 draft. That, my friends, is value. The number 34 player in an NFL draft being taken with the number 144 pick in that draft. You're buying a stock for pennies on the dollar. And maybe the stock doesn't end up working out, but that's not the point here. The transactional value here was tremendous. Sam Howell last year was a candidate to be the number one overall pick in the 2022 draft. Obviously, things did not work out that way, but think about that for a moment. 12 months ago, Sam Howell was being talked about as a very possible candidate to be the number one overall pick in the 2022 draft. The Commanders ended up getting him with the number 144 overall pick in the 2022 draft. We on Saturday had a post-draft press conference for Commanders head coach Ron Rivera and Commanders general manager Martin Mayhew at Commanders headquarters in Ashburn, Virginia. Here was Ron on Saturday on whether he thought that Sam Howell would be available to the Commanders in the fifth round, and Ron on why he drafted Howell.
No, we didn't think he would slide to us. It's interesting because, you know, once we got Carson as our starter, you know, we got off the quarterback train for the most part. We did know that, as I said, there was, you know, an opportunity for us to take one as a backup, and a guy that you could develop for the long term. We most certainly considered that. But to have Sam fall to us was something we had to jump on. We had a very good grade on him. He was at that point the highest guy left on our board. He was a guy that we most certainly, as we dug into initially, was a guy that if, you know, we were still in that situation, would have been somebody we considered very seriously. So we feel this is a home run for us. You know, it was a good opportunity to grab a guy. I had an opportunity to talk, you know, with Carson before we made the pick. I wanted to make sure he understood that this is just all about developing a young guy. More so than anything else, he's our number one going forward, and he just appreciated the fact that I gave him the heads up, which I thought was really cool. And he was pretty excited because he just thinks that he's heard a lot of good things about Sam.
So how about that? Ron Rivera checked in with Carson Wentz to make sure that Wentz understood why the Commanders were drafting Sam Howell. Ron pretty clearly said to himself, all right, I better reassure Corsi Warsi that he's still our quarterback. He's still our QB1 and that his feelings shouldn't be hurt by us taking Sam Howell. But you know what? I can understand Ron Rivera doing that. I don't like that he felt like he had to do that. But I think communication is good between an NFL head coach and his QB1. And so that Ron did that, to me, is fine, okay? I really hope that Carson Wentz, though, has evolved, if, in fact, he had his feelings hurt in the past by the Eagles drafting Jalen Hurts and by the success of Nick Foles in that 2017 season, okay? It's ridiculous if Carson Wentz feels this way. He's got to grow up and grow out of feeling that way, if, in fact, he has felt that way. Remember, with all of this stuff, there's a lot that we're unsure of, right? All of this stuff is based on reports and rumors and things that people have said, but also things that aren't 100% certain. But Ron checked in with Carson Wentz. I think that is important to know. Well, what about Carson Wentz's backup? What about his feelings? Taylor Heineke's feelings? Has anyone checked on Tay-Tay's feelings? Here was Ron Rivera on Saturday on whether Taylor Heineke is still the Commanders' QB2 of the Commanders drafting Sam Howell.
No, it's Taylor's our backup. Okay. Again, as I, you know, please understand that this is a guy that, you know, is going to grow and develop over a period of time. I mean, there's no hurry to force him out there or anything like that. This is a good chance for him to get a real good education and develop and see what happens.
All right, so Ron Rivera on Saturday made it quite clear that Sam Howell is the Commanders' QB3. Carson Wentz is the QB1. Taylor Heineke is the QB2. Sam Howell is the QB3. At least for now, things can always change. Sam Howell was a very productive starting quarterback at North Carolina. I mean, you think about Sam Howell, productive starting quarterback in a Power 5 conference for three seasons. Howell was North Carolina's starting quarterback for three seasons, 2019 through 2021, including being Carolina's starter for all 13 of its games in the 2019 season as a true freshman. Howell at North Carolina had 92 career touchdown passes, the most passing touchdowns by an ACC quarterback in three or fewer seasons ever. Howell for his 2020 sophomore season ranked number 14 among all qualified quarterbacks in the FBS in ESPN's total QBR at 79.3. Here, though, is my favorite Sam Howell stat. You ready for this? Sam Howell was an elite fourth quarter quarterback for North Carolina. Howell, over his three seasons as Carolina's starting quarterback, had an overall grade in fourth quarters for Pro Football Focus of 92.4, which ranked first in the FBS during that span. PFF grades are on a scale of 0 to 100. Sam Howell, over his three seasons as the Tar Heel starting quarterback, overall grade in fourth quarters for PFF of 92.4, which ranked first in the FBS during that span. That's a tremendous thing to be able to say about a quarterback. He was at his best in the fourth quarters of games. Now, the big thing with Sam Howell, or at least one of the things with Sam Howell in terms of concerns, is this supposedly disappointing season that he just had, his 2021 junior season. Did Sam Howell have a disappointing 2021 junior season? Well, this is a complicated issue. So North Carolina lost quite a few skill position players, including current Commanders receiver De'Ami Brown from the 2020 season going into the 2021 season. And so if you just look at some of your basic Sam Howell stats, you do see a guy whose performance did decline. His completion percentage went from 68.1 for the 2020 season to 62.5 for the 2021 season. His yards per pass attempt went from 10.3 for the 2020 season to 8.1 for the 2021 season. And those declines are significant, and they shouldn't be completely ignored. However, in some of the more telling quarterback metrics, actually wasn't that different in his 2021 junior season as compared to how he was in his 2020 sophomore season. Take Howell through the prism of ESPN's total QBR. Howell's total QBR for the 2020 season was 79.3. His total QBR for the 2021 season was 76.1. Not that much of a difference. How about Howell through the prism of overall grade for Pro Football Focus? Howell's overall grade for PFF for the 2020 season was 92.3. His overall grade for PFF for the 2021 season was 91.1. Not that big of a difference. So, you know, this narrative that Sam Howell was great in 2020 but bad in 2021 is fake news. It's not true. Sam Howell was better in 2021 than he got credit for. Now, is Sam Howell a perfect quarterback prospect? No, he is not. But I think it's important to understand the nature of this supposedly disappointing 2021 season that Sam Howell had. Here was Ron Rivera on Saturday with his evaluation of Sam Howell.
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, it would be unfair if you didn't consider his 2020 season. You know, just looking back at what he did. I mean, you know, I saw a lot of him last year because they had several players that were coming out, skilled players that we watched. You know, they had two really good running backs, two quality wide receivers, and we obviously end up drafting De'Ami. And when you do that, you get an opportunity to see this guy play. Well, he also lined up in front of a brand new offensive line. And so a lot of things changed from 2020 to 2021. And so taking that into consideration and being fair to him, saying, you know, this is a guy that had a whole group of new starters that he had to try and work with and get used to, and yet he was still very, very productive. You know, they won a lot of games, got into a bowl game, and I believe he threw for over 3,000 yards and rushed for over 1,000, and I think he accounted for something like 30-something touchdowns or something. I'm trying to remember all those stats. But I thought he was impressive enough that, you know, like I said, he was very high on our board, and he was somebody that stuck out. You know, when, you know, we're sitting there looking at the beginning of the fifth round, just said, you know, this is a value pick, a developmental pick. This is a guy that, you know, has no pressure, where he can sit back, learn from a couple of quality guys, and who knows what happens later on.
I'll tell you something else about Sam Howell. He emerged as a major run threat in his final collegiate season. So Howell was North Carolina's starting quarterback for three seasons, 2019 through 2021. He, over his 2019 and 2020 seasons, totaled just 181 rushing yards, and those are official rushing yards. Remember, in college football, officially, a quarterback's rushing yards include his yardage lost on sacks. Why this is the case, I don't know. It's so dumb, but this is the way that things are done. So Sam Howell, over his 2019 and 2020 seasons, a total of just 181 rushing yards. But Sam Howell, during his 2021 junior season, totaled 828 official rushing yards and 11 rushing touchdowns. He became much more of a run threat this past season. Also, Howell, in his 2021 junior season for Pro Football Focus, forced 63 broken tackles. So he really did become a factor with his legs. In fact, I think you could actually argue that Howell became too much of a factor with his legs this past season, because also, according to PFF, 13% of Sam Howell's dropbacks in the 2021 season resulted in scrambles. 13%, that's a high percentage of dropbacks turning into scrambles. And while a porous North Carolina offensive line had something to do with this, so too may have been like an overwillingness from Howell to run. You know, it may be that he became too quick to run this past season. So, you know, you do wonder about that. Like, is Sam Howell going to get antsy in the pocket? Is he going to have happy feet in the pocket? Is he going to be someone who, if his first read isn't there, is going to take off when, in fact, he should have just bought some more time in the pocket, or he should have looked, you know, through his progressions more or in a better way? So, you know, these are legitimate questions to be asking. Sam Howell is not a very tall quarterback, if you care about quarterback height. I really don't, but some people do. I know that Ron Rivera does, at least to an extent. Howell at the 2022 NFL Scouting Combine measured as being 6 feet and 5/8 of an inch and 218 pounds. So he's not even 6'1". Now remember, Ron Rivera at the Commanders pre-draft press conference last Monday afternoon said that he, prior to making the trade for Carson Wentz, had liked one of the quarterbacks in the 2022 draft enough to consider taking that quarterback with the number 11 overall pick. We talked about this on last Tuesday's show, episode 300 of the Al Galdi podcast. Now, it would seem that who this quarterback was not Malik Willis. That now would seem to be the case. I thought that Malik Willis was the guy. I suspected that Malik Willis was the guy who Ron Rivera talked about, but the Commanders ended up passing on Malik Willis multiple times in this 2022 NFL draft. I mean, Malik Willis ended up not being taken until the third round of the 2022 draft. The Tennessee Titans took the Liberty quarterback, Malik Willis, in the third round, pick number 86 overall in the 2022 draft. So, you know, is Malik Willis the guy who Ron Rivera was talking about last Monday afternoon? If he was, Ron had a funny way of showing that as this 2022 draft went on. So the question now becomes, well, was that player in fact Sam Howell? Because that's the quarterback who the Commanders ended up taking, albeit in the fifth round. Did Ron Rivera on Saturday get a quarterback in the fifth round who Ron had considered taking with the number 11 overall pick? Because if that's true, that's a really big deal. Well, here was Ron's answer on Saturday.
We like Sam. You know, as I said, for the reasons that I talked about, we spent a lot of time looking at his 2020 tape. Took a lot of time looking at his 2021. I read a really interesting article about him, and the thing that really was pointed out in the article was the loss of playmakers. And then the loss of the offensive line in front of him. And then the switch to what they were doing offensively, try and capitalize on his ability. I mean, this is a guy that can be a very solid future player for us down the line. I mean, we're very fortunate to have Carson, as our starting quarterback, and knowing that this is a guy that can take us into the future. And here's a young guy that could, you know, eventually grow into it and become the kind of guy that can back us up for a while. So you feel confident and comfortable in it, and just feel, you know, we've got, you know, two really good veteran quarterbacks with a young guy that's going to be developed for us over a period of time.
Okay. Obviously, that was an evasive answer by Ron Rivera. Ron, later in the press conference on Saturday, was asked whether he had a second round grade on Sam Howell.
We had a high grade on him. You know, were we going to take him early? No. No. Because we feel very comfortable with what we've done with Carson. We really do. I mean, we like Carson. We believe Carson's our guy going forward, and we believe he can lead our football team. And, you know, when you have the type of backup that you have with Taylor, you feel great about it. I mean, it's a good situation, and quite honestly, we needed a third quarterback, a guy that we have to have, you know, develop and kind of be ready just in case.
All right. More major affirmation right there from Ron Rivera for Carson Wentz. I tell you, I hope that Carson Wentz watched or at least listened to this Ron Rivera, Martin Mayhew post-draft press conference on Saturday, because there were all kinds of assurances and affirmations from Don Ron for Carson Wentz in this presser. We then got another question at the presser on Saturday about where the Commanders were comfortable taking Sam Howell. Take a listen to this exchange between Commanders insider Michael Phillips of Richmond.com and Ron Rivera and Martin Mayhew.
How close were you to turning in the card for Sam in the fourth round? Was that imply?
No. You know, again, Percy filled the need that we were looking at. You know, he's a guy that we felt very good about. And I know Martin speaking about it, you know, he was a guy that, you know, he just said, hey, we got to really consider this guy because of his skill set and what we think one of our needs are.
All right. So the trade for Carson Wentz very clearly took the Commanders out of the mix of taking a quarterback over the first four rounds of the 2022 NFL draft. That Ron Rivera wasn't even willing to spend a fourth round pick on Sam Howell would seem to suggest that Howell was not the guy who Ron was talking about at the pre-draft press conference this past Monday afternoon. Malik Willis no longer seems to have been that guy. So who was it? I guess that you have to say that the guy was one of the first two quarterbacks taken in the 2022 draft. Maybe the guy was Kenny Pickett. Maybe the guy was Desmond Ridder. What about leadership? We know that leadership has been a supposed problem for Carson Wentz. We know that Ron Rivera has said that leadership for a quarterback matters a lot. How is Sam Howell in the department of leadership? Ron Rivera on Saturday on the feel that he has gotten on Sam Howell as a leader.
Well, you know, it's interesting in talking to some of the people that are around the UNC program. He's a very well-liked guy. You know, a lot of players do rally around him. And it was real interesting because, you know, having come from Carolina, just knowing a number of people that I know down in the Carolina area were kind of excited that he's coming up here. So it was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, there remain a lot of fans of the Commanders in the Carolinas from the days prior to the Carolina Panthers. A lot of Redskins fans in the Carolinas from back in the day. Remember, the Carolina Panthers didn't come into existence until the 1995 season. So during the heyday of George Allen with the Redskins in the 1970s, during the heyday of Joe Gibbs with the Redskins in the 1980s and early 1990s, if you were an NFL fan in North Carolina, the Redskins, more likely than not, were your team, and there remain plenty of Skins fans in the Carolinas. Here was Martin Mayhew on Saturday on Sam Howell as a leader.
I'll tell you what, just one thing that really impressed me about him last year was the pro day at North Carolina. When all those guys were coming out, he came out and threw for those guys. And a lot of guys would not do that if they didn't have to. And he put on a show. He put on a show when I was there. Marty was there. We all saw that. He really caught my eye on that day, and I started watching him. And, you know, I was really impressed with the season last year. And like Coach said, he lost a lot of weapons. And I thought they modified the game plan somewhat to try to adjust for that, which I think took away from his ability to play his best ball this past year. So I'm really excited about having him with us.
All right, I thought that was a good nugget there from Martin Mayhew on Sam Howell. Look, the reasons to like the Commanders having taken Sam Howell in the fifth round of the 2022 draft do not include that he's some lock to be a great NFL quarterback. It may well be that he ends up being a nothing burger as an NFL quarterback, okay? I totally get that. But you know what? It may just be that he ends up being a bit more than a nothing burger. Maybe a lot more. Who knows? But to me, right now, the reasons to like the Commanders having taken Sam Howell in the fifth round of the 2022 draft, in no particular order, are great value pick. Howell does have legitimate upside. This was a swing at the quarterback position from our still quarterback needy Commanders. And this shows that Ron Rivera isn't going to not add to his quarterback inventory out of fear of hurting Carson Wentz's feelings. And as silly as that may sound, that had been a thing that is no longer a thing. And this is the way that things should be. Ron Rivera needs to do what is in the best interest of the football team, not what is in the best interest of Carson Wentz's feelings, okay? I hope that Carson Wentz is great for the Commanders this coming season. I am rooting like crazy for Carson Wentz to kill it for our Commanders this coming season. But if he isn't great for the Commanders this coming season, if he doesn't kill it for the Commanders this coming season, if problems arise with him on the Commanders this coming season, then maybe, just maybe, Sam Howell can be an option. Up next, much more of my thoughts on what the Commanders did in rounds 2 through 7 of the 2022 NFL Draft. Straight ahead, I will address the selection of Alabama interior defensive lineman Fedarian Mathis in the 2nd round. Does this mean bye-bye to Daron Payne? I'll get to that and much more after this.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We continue discussing and dissecting the Commanders' 2022 draft rounds 2 through 7 on this special Commanders draft installment of the Al Galdi podcast. Good to have you with us. So the Commanders on Friday night took Alabama interior defensive lineman Fedarian Mathis in the 2nd round, pick number 47 overall in the 2022 NFL draft. His name is Fedarian, not Fildarian. I feel like that's a mistake that's going to be made about 1,000 times in the coming months. So let us all practice together. Fedarian, not Phil Darian. Or is it Bunmi Rotimi? I don't know. I get confused.
Rotimi Bunmi?
Yes, Ron. Something like that. Anyway, the Commanders took Fedarian Mathis on Friday night in the 2nd round of the 2022 draft. I do not have to tell you about how many failed 2nd round picks that the Redskins / Washington football team / Commanders have had over the last 15 years. Devin Thomas, Fred Davis, Malcolm Kelly, Jarvis Jenkins, David Amerson, Trent Murphy, Sua Cravens, Darius Geis. The list goes on and on and on and on. So let us hope that Fedarian Mathis does not continue that tradition. Samuel Cosmi may well be not continuing that tradition. Washington took Cosmi in the 2nd round of the 2021 NFL draft out of Texas. Cosmi had a good rookie season when he played. He just did not play enough. Cosmi last season was hurt a lot. He in the 2021 regular season played in just 9 of Washington's 17 games. But with Fedarian Mathis, so he is big. He is very big. Mathis at the 2022 NFL Scouting Combine measured as being 6'4 1/4 inch and 310 pounds. I mean, Fedarian Mathis is your classic big, wide-bodied, run-stuffing defensive tackle. Fedarian Mathis is experienced. He was a player at Alabama for 5 seasons, 2017 through 2021. Fedarian Mathis has a reputation for being a leader and a good dude. Mathis, in his 2021 redshirt senior season, was one of Alabama's permanent team captains, and he was named to the SEC Community Service Team for his work off the field. You know, an undeniable trend for Washington in its now three drafts run by Ron Rivera has been the team taking players with substantial collegiate experience and players who come off as mature and good people. We late night on Friday night had a press conference for Commanders head coach Ron Rivera and Commanders general manager Martin Mayhew at team headquarters in Ashburn, Virginia. Here was Ron on Friday night on what he liked about Fedarian Mathis.
As far as Mathis is concerned, the young man that's played a lot of big-time football. You know, you play in the SEC and you play against the teams that you play. You know that these are legit guys. You're grading them against NFL quality players. So we feel good about who he is, feel good about what his potential is and what he can do for us, you know, in terms of playing snaps, being part of a group that's going to, you know, get an opportunity to go out and play some football for us. So pretty excited about who he is.
All right. And here was Martin Mayhew on Friday night on Fedarian Mathis.
Outstanding football player, you know, really good football player. He's got size, he's got length, he's got heavy hands, really good motor, outstanding motor. He's probably, as of right now, more fully developed playing the run, but he's got some sneaky ability to rush the passer at 9 sacks last year, so he's a really good football player.
So what stuck out the most to me from Martin Mayhew right there was him saying that Fedarian Mathis has, quote, sneaky ability to rush the passer, end quote. That is, to me, the biggest question with Fedarian Mathis, him as a pass rusher. You know, like, I look at this Fedarian Mathis pick as follows. Did the Commanders spend a second-round pick on a two-down player? Because if the answer is yes, then this is not a good pick. And there was a lot of negative feeling from Commanders fans on this pick and really on what the Commanders did overall on Friday night in the 2022 draft. And I get it. There were major questions to be asked about positional value. The Commanders potentially taking a two-down interior defensive lineman in the second round and a running back in the third round. Now, you can't judge an NFL draft choice for at least a few seasons. I think we all get that. But you can, with an NFL draft choice, instantly assess value. Was the pick a good value pick given the information at the time? Mathis clearly profiles as a run stopper. Whether he can do well as a pass rusher is far less clear. And so the idea of the Commanders in the year 2022, in which the NFL is as pass happy as ever, spending a second round pick on a guy who will help against the run but potentially not against the pass, is concerning. Now, Mathis, in his 2021 redshirt senior season at Alabama, did total 9 official sacks. He, for Pro Football Focus, had 7 sacks. PFF credits players for sacks differently than official statistics credit players for sacks. But his sack total, whichever one that you want to go by, was encouraging and this is important, was a function of an increase in pressures. Fedarian Mathis in his 2021 redshirt senior season at Bama for Pro Football Focus totaled 25 pressures, and that matters. A player's sack total in a season jumping up without a corresponding increase in pressures for that season can mean that the increase in sacks was a fluke. Mathis's increase in sacks in his 2021 redshirt senior season at Bama did come with a corresponding increase in pressures. So that makes it feel like the jump in sacks was not some fluke. So bottom line, the idea that Fedarian Mathis is emerging as a pass rusher and won't be just a two-down player in the NFL isn't far-fetched. It may well be that he is emerging and evolving into being a quality pass rusher. But it's not a guarantee that Fedarius Mathis at the NFL level will be a quality pass rusher, will be a three-down player. And if Mathis ends up only being a two-down player, then to me, this will almost certainly prove to not be a good value pick for the Commanders. You know, it's worth noting that Mathis, in a virtual press conference on Friday night, said that his agent told him to expect to be drafted in the 3rd or 4th round. That's something that Fedarian Mathis should be saying out loud. Okay, because that does not make the Commanders look so great that they took him in the 2nd round when Mathis's own agent told Mathis that Mathis was likely to be drafted in the 3rd or 4th round. You know, this may well have been a reach pick by the Commanders. That's not good. That's not the way that you want to do the NFL draft. But Mathis at Alabama was good, okay? And I do think that there's a good chance that he'll be good for the Commanders. I just don't know that he's going to prove to be worthy of a second round pick. Again, whether he plays and is impactful on passing downs for opposing teams will be key. By the way, take a listen to this. Martin Mayhew in the Commanders post-draft press conference on Saturday. Mayhew clearly was aware of the criticism out there of the Commanders having overdrafted Fadarian Mathis and perhaps having overdrafted their third round pick, the Alabama running back, Brian Robinson Jr. And so Mayhew on Saturday said the following and said the following quite early in that Saturday post-draft press conference.
And we talked a lot about the last time that we ended up getting together about these projections and where guys are supposed to go. And I think Sam Howell is a great example of that, you know, and that, you know, people are making projections about where they expect players to go. And they're not in these buildings. They're not around these teams. We understand our needs and what we need as a football team much, much better than people on the outside looking in. And that's why you end up with situations like Fadarian going to second round, surprising some folks. Sam going in the fifth round, surprising some folks. Everybody has their own system, and everybody sets up their program the way they want to set it up. And we have different needs, and we look at our teams differently than other people do, I think.
Yeah, I thought that those comments from Martin Mayhew were a definite shot back at the critics of the Commanders for supposedly having overdrafted Fadarian Mathis and Brian Robinson Jr. You know, a lot of people were giving the Commanders grief. Matt Miller, the ESPN NFL draft analyst and insider, he on Saturday afternoon tweeted the following, quote, "Always rooting to be proven wrong, but feels like the Commanders' valuation doesn't match the consensus on quite a few players this year. A lot of reaches based on where guys were ranked, but they obviously like them." End quote. Well, Martin Mayhew, old Marty Mayhew, fired back in that post-draft Commanders press conference on Saturday. Now, Mayhew wasn't wrong with what he said. Those with the Commanders do know the Commanders' needs better than those on the outside. But as I believe, and as I know that many of you believe, you shouldn't draft primarily for need. So when Mayhew says something like, well, we know what our needs are better than others know what our needs are, well, your needs shouldn't really be factoring in that much to what you do in an NFL draft. All right, let's address maybe the biggest question off the Commanders using a second round pick to take Fadarian Mathis. What does this mean for Daron Payne? You know, to me, it's impossible to ignore the timing of this Fadarian Mathis selection. The Commanders drafted Mathis on Friday night. Friday night was just 3 days after Commanders insider Ben Standig of The Athletic on Tuesday reported that the Commanders in this 2022 offseason are not expected to offer Daron Payne a contract extension. The 2022 season is set to be the fifth and final season of Payne's rookie contract. I talked about the Daron Payne situation at length on last Wednesday's show, episode 301. To me, if the Commanders are not going to extend Payne, then they need to trade Payne. I do not have much faith that the Commanders will be trading Payne, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't trade Payne. But put all of that aside, we over just the last week now have had the report that the Commanders aren't expected to even offer Payne a contract extension this offseason, and we have had the Commanders spending a second round pick on Payne's potential, if not likely, replacement in Fadarian Mathis. I mean, could the writing on the wall be any clearer? Daron Payne would appear to not be long for playing for the Commanders. Daron Payne would appear to be also likely to be gone from the Commanders next offseason at the latest, either via trade or free agency. Here was Ron Rivera on Friday night on whether drafting Fadarian Mathis changes anything for Daron Payne.
No, not at all. I think this, again, is about bringing a guy in, giving him an opportunity to contribute and be part of what we're trying to do. You know, I think people want to jump to the conclusion just because you don't do anything now doesn't mean that you can't do something later. A lot of things have changed, and it's one of the things I talked about with you guys, during the press conference, that when you get a veteran quarterback that has a salary, it's going to impact your salary cap and how you respond to it. You know, Martin will tell you, it's a difficult thing as you try to figure out the best way to be able to pay players, and sometimes you can't do it right away. And so that's kind of the situation we're in right now, is we're trying to take care of certain other things as well as we go forward, and we'll see how we can adjust to it, and who knows what happens after that.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? But if the plan, the honest plan from Ron Rivera, is to let this coming season play out and then offer Daron Payne a contract extension, off not even offering him one this offseason, I mean, good luck getting him to sign an extension with the prospect of unrestricted free agency around the corner. And God help us if the Commanders then place a tag on Payne next offseason, either a franchise tag or a transition tag, because we know how the tag game ultimately plays out. The guy ends up going away, and you end up getting back next to nothing, if not nothing. I don't know how you look at the Commanders having spent a second-round pick on Fedarian Mathis as not being a sign that Daron Payne is not long for the team. I don't care what the team says. Follow the actions, not the words. The actions scream right now that Daron Payne is not long for the Commanders. Now, things can always change, but for now, that to me is the way to be reading this. But if, in fact, the Commanders do not trade Daron Payne this offseason, then they will have Payne and Mathis on the team this coming season. Remember, the Commanders this offseason have lost two key interior defensive linemen in Matt Ioannidis and Tim Settle. The Commanders released Ioannidis. The Commanders lost Settle via free agency. He signed with the Buffalo Bills as an unrestricted free agent. Ron Rivera on Friday night on whether he drafted Fedarian Mathis for depth.
Well, I think a big part of it too is not just depth, but guy that you're going to get snaps. You know, Matt played over 50% of the snaps, and this is a young man that's going to get an opportunity to play a good number of that percentage as well. You know, we do have a plan for a third down pass rush, and it may include him, it may not, it may include somebody else, a different combination of guys. But what we need to do more so than anything else is just make sure we're eating up those percentages of play time with a different combination of guys.
Yeah, Matt Ioannidis in the 2021 regular season played quite a bit, played in 16 of Washington's 17 games. It has been said that he had a down 2021 season, and I'm not here to tell you that Matt Ioannidis was outstanding this past season, but Ioannidis for the 2021 regular season was number 4 on Washington with 11 quarterback hits and did register an overall grade for Pro Football Focus of 65.4. Now, that's not great, but for comparison's sake, Daron Payne's overall grade for PFF for the 2021 regular season was just 64.2. So if you look at each guy via his PFF overall grade for the 2021 regular season, and look, the PFF overall grades are not gospel, all right? But Ioannidis' overall grade for PFF for the 2021 regular season, it was better than Payne's overall grade for PFF for the 2021 regular season. All right, we move now to the Commanders' second pick on Friday night. The Commanders on Friday night took Alabama running back Brian Robinson Jr. in the third round, pick number 98 overall in the 2022 NFL draft. So the Bama Skins trend is back on. We had the interior defensive lineman Fedarian Mathis taken by the Commanders in the second round on Friday night. We had the running back from Bama, Brian Robinson Jr., taken in the third round by the Commanders on Friday night. So Brian Robinson Jr., number 98 overall pick. That pick was acquired on Thursday night when the Commanders traded their number 11 overall pick to the New Orleans Saints for a 2022 first round pick, the number 16 overall pick, a 2022 third round pick, the number 98 overall pick, and a 2022 fourth round pick, the number 120 overall pick. So Brian Robinson Jr., you could say that he's a thumper. Robinson at the 2022 NFL Scouting Combine measured as being 6'1 and 5/8 of an inch and 225 pounds. He is a bruiser. There's a thought that Robinson could be the new Peyton Barber for the Commanders, the new short yardage specialist, and maybe Brian Robinson Jr. will be the Commanders' short yardage specialist for this coming season. But understand this, Washington last season was actually really good on short yardage runs. This thing that Washington really missed Peyton Barber this past season, that's not true. Now, Peyton Barber did do a good job in his lone season with Washington. Peyton Barber was Washington's short yardage specialist for the 2020 season. The team last August 31st released Barber in the cut down to 53, did then the next day announce a 15-man practice squad that included Barber, but the Las Vegas Raiders poached Barber off Washington's practice squad. The Raiders this past September 4th signed Barber to their active roster off Washington's practice squad. But still, Washington last season was really good on short yardage runs. Washington finished the 2021 regular season at number 3 in the NFL in power success rate for Football Outsiders at 77%. Power success rate is a great stat to look at if you're trying to figure out, okay, is this team good on short yardage runs? Power success rate is the percentage of successful third and fourth down runs requiring no more than 2 yards for first down or a touchdown. Washington last regular season was 3rd in the NFL in power success rate. So the next time that you hear or read that Washington really missed Peyton Barber last season, no, actually Washington in short yardage situations last season did just fine sans Peyton Barber. So it may be that Brian Robinson Jr. will serve as the Commander's short yardage back, but I tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that the Commanders drafting Robinson had a lot more to do with spelling Antonio Gibson. Antonio Gibson has given a lot to this team over the last 2 years, and he is someone who has taken a pounding. He is someone who has not missed many games to his credit, but he is someone who has incurred a lot of injury. And as we all know, Gibson is a converted receiver. Brian Robinson Jr., again, is 6'1 and 5/8 of an inch and 225 pounds. Brian Robinson Jr. is built for the role of pounding the rock late in a game in which you're trying to preserve a lead and run out the clock. Remember, Ron Rivera loved the way that Washington played during that 4-game winning streak last season. You win time of possession, you play ball control, you get out to a lead, and then you run the football a lot, okay? I mean, that is a very old school way of doing football, but it did work for Washington during that 4-game winning streak. Well, Antonio Gibson was leaned on a ton during that 4-game winning streak. And to his credit, you know, he did a good job, although his yards per carry during the 4-game winning streak wasn't great. But, you know, I don't know that Antonio Gibson necessarily is someone who should be used to pound the rock the way that he was as last season went on. Brian Robinson Jr. fits that role in a more classic way. Big bruiser, a guy who can carry the football, run out the clock, and hold on to the football. More on that momentarily. But Brian Robinson Jr. played at Alabama for 5 seasons, 2017 through 2021. He did not become a starter for Bama until his 2021 redshirt senior season, but he in that season, over 14 games, was terrific. 1,343 rushing yards, an average of 4.96 yards per carry, and 14 rushing touchdowns. And here's the physicality. Robinson, in his 2021 redshirt senior season at Bama, for Pro Football Focus, had 891 yards after contact, which ranked 12th in the FBS. And he had 79 missed tackles forced, which ranked tied for 6th in the FBS. Really good numbers right there for Brian Robinson Jr. Also, Robinson in his 2021 redshirt senior season at Bama had some big performances in big games. October 2nd of last year, number 1 Alabama beat number 12 Ole Miss 42-21. Robinson had 36 carries for 171 yards and 4 touchdowns. This past New Year's Eve, number 1 Alabama beat number 4 Cincinnati 27-6 in the Cotton Bowl in the college football playoff semis. Robinson had 26 carries for 204 yards. And Robinson this past season demonstrated an ability to be a pass catcher. He had 35 receptions for 296 yards and 2 touchdowns. We late night on Friday night had a press conference for Commanders head coach Ron Rivera and Commanders general manager Martin Mayhew at the team facility in Ashburn, Virginia. Here was Ron Rivera on Friday night on Brian Robinson Jr.
As far as Brian's concerned, love the physical downhill style. I saw the stat flash that this is a guy that breaks tackles. Over 800 yards of yards after contact. That's pretty impressive. And has been as consistent protecting the football over his career, I think is another thing that that you like. But he's also a different type of back than what we get from Antonio and what we get from JD. And so it's one of those things that we have a trifecta of guys that that you're going to feel real good about in terms of mixing up things. And one thing is, he's a very physical player.
All right, so a few things right there from Ron Rivera on Brian Robinson Jr. Ron mentioned the lack of fumbling from Robinson. Yeah, he is not a fumbler. Now, fumbling stats for college football are hard to find and can vary. There are various fumbling stats on Robinson out there. Just know this, Brian Robinson Jr. was not a fumbler in his collegiate career. Robinson, over his 5 seasons at Alabama, totaled 597 touches. The most fumbles that I saw for him were 3. Yeah, just 3. Ron Rivera on Friday night on why Brian Robinson Jr. at Alabama was so good when it came to ball security.
Well, when you watch him in a style of running, you always notice that the ball is high and tight, and he does a nice job with that. He's got long arms, so wrapping the ball also is an easier thing for him because of his size. I mean, young man, 6'2". I mean, he's a good-sized running back. And, you watch him and just the way he handles himself and plays the game, it's a very physical style.
Now, when we talk ball security about a Commanders running back right now, the name Antonio Gibson cannot be far behind. Antonio Gibson did do plenty of good things in the 2021 regular season, but Antonio Gibson finished the 2021 regular season number 1 among all running backs in the NFL in fumbles at 6. Yes, number 1. Antonio Gibson for the 2021 regular season had the most fumbles among all running backs in the NFL at 6. Not good. Now, in fairness to Gibson, it should be noted that he last season was banged up a lot. Gibson in the 2021 regular season did play in 16 of Washington's 17 games, but he during the season dealt with a shin injury, dealt with a rib injury, dealt with a toe injury. Gibson in his 2020 regular season played in 14 of Washington's 16 games, but he in December 2020 missed 2 consecutive games due to a turf toe injury that lingered into last offseason. So he's only missed 3 games over his 2 regular seasons, but he has dealt with a lot in the way of injury. He has been banged up quite a bit. Ron Rivera on Friday night on Brian Robinson Jr. potentially helping to keep Antonio Gibson fresh and healthy.
Oh, yeah. Well, then, and that's part of it, too, because now you feel like you have a combination of running backs, that on your first and second down, are very physical at one point, and then we turn around and you get a little bit of a slasher with Antonio's style. But Antonio's got some deceptive speed and quickness as well. So it's a good mix. I've been fortunate that I've had a couple of combinations of really good running backs. And I see this giving us another combination of really good running backs. And then you throw JD into the mix and you're really going to get a change up.
Yeah, I would not be stunned if Brian Robinson Jr. ends up getting a lot more carries this coming season than just short yardage carries. I think Antonio Gibson for now is the Commanders' RB1, but it is widely known that Gibson leaves yards on the field, and his efficiency stats are not very good. Antonio Gibson did finish the 2021 regular season number 6 in the NFL in rushing yards at 1,037, but He also finished the 2021 regular season just 34th among qualified players in the NFL in yards per carry at 4.02, just 23rd out of 50 qualified running backs in the NFL in Football Outsiders' success rate at 52%, and just 38th out of 50 qualified running backs in the NFL in Football Outsiders' DVOA metric at minus 6.7%. Now, maybe some of those bad efficiency numbers have to do with Gibson having been banged up. Maybe the thinking here is less is more for Antonio Gibson as a ball carrier. You know, we still have not seen Antonio Gibson excel the way that we thought that he would excel as a pass catcher in the NFL. I mean, remember, he was a combo running back receiver at Memphis. We haven't seen much of Antonio Gibson, the receiver, at the NFL level. Maybe a fresher Gibson would allow for more of Gibson as a pass catcher. Here was Ron Rivera on Friday night on how he envisions the distribution of carries for Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissic, and Brian Robinson Jr.
Right. Well, the big thing is you've got to be able to have a different type of effect on the game. If this game's going to get downhill and physical and really grind it out, you know, you want to be able to mix it in with somebody else, you know, and they may not get 20 carries. But just to change it, the different type of physicality, the nature that he's going to bring, you feel pretty good about it.
I do like the idea of the Commanders having three running backs with three different styles and the versatility with your running game to run on people in a variety of ways, in a variety of circumstances. You know, we can do you in any number of ways. I think that that's good. I do think that that's smart. All right, let's get to the rest of the Commanders' picks in rounds 2 through 7 of the 2022 NFL Draft on this special Commanders Draft installment of the Al Galdi podcast. So the Commanders on Saturday took Louisiana safety Percy Butler in the fourth round, pick number 113 overall in the 2022 NFL Draft. Percy Butler can run. Butler at the 2022 NFL Scouting Combine ran a blazing 40-yard dash. Butler at the 2022 Combine ran a 4.36 40. And, you know, he's not some, like, minuscule guy. Butler at the Combine measured as being 6 feet and 194 pounds. He had a strong 2021 season. Butler played at Louisiana for 4 seasons, 2018 through 2021. So another guy with at least 4 years of collegiate playing experience drafted by the Commanders. That was very much a theme for the Commanders in their 2022 draft. Butler, in his 2021 season, had an overall grade for Pro Football Focus of 78.6, which ranked 78th out of 749 qualified safeties in the FBS. We on Saturday had a post-draft press conference for Commanders head coach Ron Rivera and Commanders general manager Martin Mayhew at Commanders headquarters in Ashburn, Virginia. Here was Ron Rivera on Saturday on what he sees as the role for Percy Butler on the Commanders.
Well, I think the biggest thing as far as his role is here's a guy that's going to get an opportunity to compete. You know, he'll compete at a couple spots. Nickel will be one of them, and safety will be the other one. And so because of his skill set and the things that he does. So, you know, he's a guy that has a specific skill set that we really feel is very intriguing. First of all, he's got tremendous speed and quickness. He's a guy that's going to not just help us as a defensive player, but he will also contribute on special teams. But I think this is a guy that can help make an immediate impact for us.
All right, so Ron Rivera says that Percy Butler will compete at safety and also at nickel corner. That stood out. You know, the Commanders do not have an obvious nickel corner right now. Now, the Commanders this offseason have re-signed corner Danny Johnson, who did end up playing quite a bit in the slot last season. But, you know, you think about the Commanders in terms of the cornerback position, Kendall Fuller and William Jackson III are the obvious top two corners, but neither guy right now profiles as someone who you want in the slot. Kendall Fuller previously in his career was excellent in the slot, but he last season was a lot better on the outside as opposed to being on the inside. Ron right there also saying that Percy Butler will be a factor on special teams. Here was Martin Mayhew on Saturday on Percy Butler, and then you'll hear Ron Rivera interject an additional key item regarding Butler.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's got speed. He's fast. He's physical. He's got versatility. He can play the nickel. He can play free safety. He brings a lot to the table. And we saw enough flashes of him playing last year. We feel he's a guy who can develop into a really good player for us.
And he's a tough player. He played hurt last year and really didn't make a lot of bones about it. He did the best he could and, you know, while he was hurt. And it was just intriguing to watch a guy that was gutting it out. I mean, that's something that sticks out to you when you talk about players.
I tell you what, the thing that stood out to me the most about Percy Butler on Saturday was this tweet from Chris Sims. Chris Sims, NFL analyst for NBC Sports and Pro Football Focus. I know that he sometimes says stuff that's like way out there, but Chris Sims on Saturday put out a tweet raving about Percy Butler. Sims on Saturday afternoon, just moments after the Commanders drafted Butler, put out the following tweet, quote, "The at Commanders got the best pure free safety in the NFL draft in Percy Butler. Dude has tremendous range in center field. He is very good in all areas of coverage, let alone he has three rockets up his butt and can fly. He is not all coverage. He is a very good tackler too," end quote. So Chris Sims raving about Percy Butler, best pure safety in the NFL draft. I sure hope that that's the case. It would be awesome if that's the case. How about the tight end position? How about this guy, Cole Turner? So the Commanders on Saturday took Nevada tight end Cole Turner in the fifth round, pick number 149 overall in the 2022 NFL draft. If the name Cole Turner sounds familiar, it should. The Commanders had reported interest in Cole Turner. Commanders insider Ben Standing of The Athletic on April 15th reported that the Commanders in the previous week had held a private draft workout for Nevada quarterback Carson Strong and Nevada tight end Cole Turner. Among those in attendance for the Commanders was offensive coordinator Scott Turner. No relation to Cole Turner. But that report from Ben made us think about Carson Strong. You know, you figured, all right, maybe the Commanders do have interest in this guy, Cole Turner. It turns out that Cole Turner may well have been the target of the Commanders having held that private draft workout, because the Commanders ended up drafting Cole Turner, and Ron Rivera is a very big fan of Cole Turner. By the way, Carson Strong, not drafted, not taken in the 2022 NFL draft. How about that? So much for interest in Carson Strong. Cole Turner, like I said, was taken by the Commanders in the fifth round, pick number 149 overall. So that was one of the two picks that the Commanders got back from the Carolina Panthers in that trade that the Commanders made on day three of the draft. On Saturday, Commanders traded a 2022 fourth-round pick number 120 overall, and a 2022 sixth-round pick number 189 overall, to the Panthers for two 2022 fifth-round picks, picks numbers 144 and 149 overall. And remember, Commanders got that 2022 fourth-round pick, the pick number 120 overall, that they traded to the Panthers via the trade with the New Orleans Saints on night one of the 2022 draft, as the Commanders traded down the five spots in the first round. Cole Turner is big. Turner at the 2022 NFL Scouting Combine measured as being 6'6" and a half of an inch and 249 pounds. So he's approaching 6'7", weighs 249. He was a very productive player for Nevada. Turner played for Nevada for four seasons, 2018 through 2021. Turner, for his 2021 senior season, tied for second in the FBS in touchdown receptions by a tight end at 10. Turner in 20 games over his final two collegiate seasons, 2020 and 2021, had 111 receptions, including 19 touchdown receptions. Think about that. 19 touchdown catches on 111 catches, 17 0.1% of his catches over his final two collegiate seasons were touchdown catches. Not bad. Like, almost one out of every five catches that he had over his final two collegiate seasons was a touchdown catch. But yeah, Ron Rivera is a big fan of Cole Turner. Ron Rivera on Saturday volunteered the following about Cole Turner. Ron was not asked about Cole Turner, but Ron made it a point to say the following.
Probably the guy that I think is very intriguing to us, more so than anybody, is Cole Turner. You know, this is a dynamic pass catcher. You know, he's played in a spread-style offense. He's a guy that's a big target. He's got a tremendous catch radius, runs good routes, and knows how to separate it at the right time. And so it's going to be very intriguing as we watch the development and growth of these players, from this point until we get into the season.
So how about that? Ron Rivera, quote, probably the guy that I think is very intriguing to us more so than anybody is Cole Turner, end quote. A notable and unsolicited comment from Ron on Saturday. He likes himself some Cole Turner. Here was Ron later in the press conference on Saturday on Cole Turner.
When you watch the tape and you watch his catch radius, I mean, it's really, really impressive. You know, his quarterback, Carson Strong, was a young man that, you know, caught our eye initially. Had an opportunity to watch him, watch his tape, and there was one guy that kept standing out. And when you watch him and you get an opportunity to watch Cole, you see the catch radius. You know, Carson's a big, strong guy, and he threw the ball hard, threw the ball well with touch, threw the ball, you know, deep balls where the guy had to go get him, lay out, make plays. So you saw this tremendous catch radius from a tight end. And so that's what's very intriguing about this, you know, and I'm not saying he is, but he reminded me of Greg Olsen. When the ball was in his area and he was covered, he had the ability to separate using his body, keeping himself between the defender and the ball. And so, when you see flashes like that and it reminds you of somebody that's a very good football player, you feel, wow, this is somebody we got to continue to watch. And we did, and we followed it, put a lot of work into the tape. We went and had a private workout and had an opportunity to really watch him excel.
Yeah, I mean, that was like a love sonnet from Ron Rivera to Cole Turner. Keep in mind, right, the Commanders' TE1, Logan Thomas, is coming off a torn ACL that he suffered in the win at the Las Vegas Raiders in Week 13 of last season. That win for Washington at the Raiders last season took place on December 5th, so it is far from a guarantee, it's far from a certainty that Logan Thomas will be good to go for Week 1 of the 2022 regular season. Now, the Commanders do have John Bates, who the team took with a fourth-round pick in the 2021 NFL draft out of Boise State. And, you know, Bates is known more as a blocking tight end. Bates can catch the football. We did see that last season. But it may well be that John Bates and Cole Turner are the Commanders' top two tight ends at the beginning of the 2022 regular season. Also, the Commanders on Saturday took two guys in the seventh round of the 2022 NFL draft. The Commanders took Tulsa offensive lineman Chris Paul in the seventh round with pick number 230 overall, and the Commanders took Oklahoma State corner Kristen Holmes in the seventh round with pick number 240 overall. So Chris Paul is interesting. First of all, the name, right? Chris Paul, and he can play guard on the offensive line. So the Commanders have a guard named Chris Paul. The Wizards do not have a guard named Chris Paul. The Wizards do not have the point guard Chris Paul, CP3. But the Commanders' Chris Paul is an athletic freak. You know, if you remember in the 2021 draft, Washington went out of its way, seemingly, to draft a bunch of athletic freaks. The Commanders did not do that in the 2022 draft, but Chris Paul is a guy with extreme athleticism. Paul, at the 2022 NFL Scouting Combine, measured as being 6'3 and 7/8 of an inch and 323 pounds. Paul registered a relative athletic score, an RAS, of 9.45 out of 10. That ranked number 67 out of 1,198 offensive guard prospects from 1987 through 2022. A relative athletic score, or RAS, is something that was developed by this guy, Kent Lee Platy, who was in the Navy. He came up with relative athletic score, which grades a player's measurements in NFL scouting combine / pro day metrics on a 0 to 10 scale compared to his peer group. So you get context for what all of these measurements and workout numbers actually mean. RAS has gained a lot of steam in recent years. I talked about it a lot. Last year, I actually had Kent Lee Platy on the podcast, and we've discussed RAS this year in regards to the NFL draft. But Chris Paul, 9.45 RAS on a scale of 0 to 10. Also, Chris Paul is another guy who was experienced. Paul was at Tulsa for 5 seasons, 2017 through 2021. Paul was a 4-year starter for Tulsa, and Chris Paul is versatile. Chris Paul offers, wait for it, position flex.
Position flex.
Yes, thank you, Ron. Position flex. Chris Paul for Tulsa played right guard, left guard, right tackle, left tackle. Tough to be much more positionally versatile as an offensive lineman than that. I guess you could say, well, he didn't play center. Okay, fine. But he played both tackle spots and both guard spots. As for the Oklahoma State corner, Christian Holmes, Holmes at the 2022 NFL Scouting Combine measured as being 5'11 and 7/8 of an inch and 211 pounds. Another guy with a lot of collegiate experience. How about this? Christian Holmes was a college football player for 6 seasons. He didn't want to leave college. Christian Holmes was at Missouri for 5 seasons, 2016 through 2020, and then played for Oklahoma State in 2021 as a graduate transfer. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can tweet me at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Monday show, episode 305, will get us back to our regularly scheduled programming. But Monday's show will feature much more on the Commanders 2022 draft, as I will have a special guest for you, NFL draft analyst Thor Nystrom of NBC Sports Edge. Yes, the mighty Thor will be back on the Al Galdi podcast. Thor's a great guy. He is excellent at talking NFL draft and college football. And Thor will give us his in-depth analysis of how the Commanders did in their 2022 draft. Also on Monday's show, I'll talk Capitals. Their regular season is over. Did not end in the greatest of ways, but the Caps' first-round series in the Stanley Cup playoffs is set. Caps will face the President's Trophy-winning Florida Panthers. I'll talk Nationals of their weekend series at the San Francisco Giants, and I'll talk Orioles of their weekend series against the Boston Red Sox at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. I hope that you have enjoyed this year's special Commanders draft episode of the Al Galdi podcast. The scheduled emergency is complete. Have a great rest of your Sunday, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
I had an opportunity to talk with Carson before we made the pick. I wanted to make sure he understood that this is just all about developing a young guy. More so than anything else, he's our number one going forward, and he just appreciated the fact that I gave him the heads up.